We had one or two visitors last week. We ended up receiving some new members, and that took way longer than I anticipated. So thank you for coming back, and we'll be preaching this morning. Part two of a series I started two Sundays ago. So if you'd like to catch up, you can go back on our website or our mobile app and check out two Sundays ago. But two Sundays ago, I preached out of Jeremiah 29, the beginning of that chapter, and subtitled that one called Blessing Babylon. And it's been really interesting because I've had some folks sending me stuff from other prophetic, well-known prophetic guys around the country, and they're all saying the same thing. Like, we got to stop hiding because of whatever's going on in the government and whatever's going on, right? What Jeremiah tells his people is go into Babylon. You're going to be there for a while. So stop crying about it. Stop whining about it. And get in there and build some houses, plant some gardens, have kids, have grandkids, be fruitful, multiply, right? Bless that place. Bless Babylon, because if Babylon goes well, it's going to go well with you, right? And one of the guys is Lance Wallnau. If you guys ever heard of Lance Wallnau, he's up there, and he's saying the same thing. He says, look, we got to stop hiding today. It's not time for us to hide, church, amen? He goes, we might be in this for a little bit, and he said exactly the same thing. Get into a Babylon. Get in there. Build some houses, plant some gardens, right? Because if America goes well, it goes well with us, right? If America's going well, our kids are going to be all right. Can I get an amen? So, guys, the Lord is really stirring my heart, man. We probably stay in this right through the end of the year. I've got some real direction and vision for 2020. It's exciting. I haven't felt this, you know, we're going to go get it. Amen, right? So, going to be touching on this morning, same concept, but something I said two Sundays ago, if you guys remember this, and the Lord has really just been grinding on me with it. And what I said is this, that we need to shift their mindset from I'm just trying to make it through this to I'm in blank, fill in the blank, to make a difference. Right? So instead of just trying to make it, I'm just trying to make it through another day. I'm just trying to make it through another month. I'm just trying to make it through this situation. Just maybe if I shifted my mindset to I'm in this to make a difference, right? It would shift entirely how we see the whole thing, how we think about it, how we talk. Can I get amen? Right? The first mindset, I'm just trying to make it, is a mindset that I'm already defeated. Think about it, right? I mean, if I'm just trying to make it, I'm waiting for something to mess my day up. Right? If I'm going into my day that I'm going to make a difference, I'm waiting for something to try to mess my day up. Right? You done messed with the wrong dude this morning, all right, because I'm in a good mood. Can I get amen, church? Imagine if we went to work every day in a good mood instead of a bad mood. Right? My wife and I were talking yesterday. I said, babe, the Bible says we're supposed to do all things without complaining. And she says, well, then stop doing stuff that makes me want to complain about it. I said, I don't think that's what Paul was talking about in that section. I've studied that extensively. I don't think that's what it means. Amen. The first mindset, I'm just trying to make it, it's a mindset where I'm a victim. Right? But the Bible says that we are victims. Tours, not victims, right? It's a mindset based on fear and doubt. It's a mindset where we typically think, listen to this, because church, I'm right here, man. God shows me this. I'm like, oh my goodness, I've been in this long enough. I should have figured this out by now, amen, right? But it's a mindset where we typically start thinking that God is taking a passive approach to what's going on in my life. Just raise your hand. We're family, all right? Anybody thinking that lately? Like, God, where are you? Right? Like, we know he's out there somewhere, but it's like, what is going on? Why is all this stuff coming at me? I thought you loved me. I thought you had promises for me. I thought you had plans for me. I thought, you know, all this prophetic words, all this stuff. God, if all this stuff is true, then why am I in this? Because this looks like the opposite of what you said. Right? See, it's a mindset that is fueled by the thought that God isn't really with me. We'll start to doubt that God is good. We'll start to doubt his faithfulness. We start to doubt his promises. The slope is slippery. Come on, man. We all, if everyone in this room, if you have not been in that mindset at least once in the last 6 hours, there's something, you're lying. We're in church, stop lying about it, right? Come on, man. We can be a Christian for 50 years and slip into this stuff and go, man, what is going on? Why? Man, you know, I hear the preacher, I read my Bible, I pray, I worship, you know, and I know God's good in here, but sometimes down here it starts getting a little bit messed up, right? Towards the end of my notes, I got this, but I'm going to say it now because it's really, really good. Pastor Al, so this is our founding pastor over here. He's still around doing good. Amen. He's Papa. But he preached a few weeks ago when I took a Sunday off. And he quoted half of one scripture, which drives me crazy, except when he does it. It's all right if he does it. But the one he quoted is this one. We all recognize it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, "Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit?" Right? Now, in chapter 3 of the same book, Paul says basically the same thing, but he's talking to the church. You, church, are a temple of the Holy Spirit, not individuals, right? Corporately, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. But in chapter 6, Paul's talking to you, don't you know you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? But the second half of that verse is, here's what it says. And, everybody say and. And that you are not your own. We don't hear that in church anymore, do we? See, what we do, Christians in America now, typically, we say, I got the Holy Spirit and I can do whatever I want. Well, you might have a spirit in you, but it ain't the Holy One if that's how you're thinking. Can I get amen? I don't know about y'all, but the Holy Spirit starts talking to me. There's not a lot of wiggle room in there. Can I get amen, right? He says, I told you to do that. Now get on it and get it done, right? He's nice, but he don't play around, right? Can I get amen? The next verse, church, is here's what he says. He says, because or for you've been bought with a price, right? Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. But I was thinking about that a few weeks ago. And here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. It's so powerful. We're going to teach a little bit and then get right into the meat of this message. He said to me, son, right? He says, you are not your own, right? Your temple of the Holy Spirit, you're not your own. And I was just pondering on that, right? I was driving my car or something. And the Holy Spirit said to me, and you're not on your own. And I was like, man, I know that, but I don't know that. We forget it. Because, man, we get going to stuff, we get getting on things, we go to work, and it's cranky, everybody's cranky, and it's stressful, we don't like it, our kids are messed up, home's messed up, whatever's going on. And we're like, God, where are you? He says, son, you're not on your own. And boy, it just hit me, I start crying a little bit. I was like, man, that's so good, Lord, thank you. But then he started working on me, like, with this concept, and this is what he says to me. He says, son, think about this. How many of us, just raise your hand, how many of you own a car? Right? Probably everybody. We live in America. Probably everybody got a car. How many people own a house? Right? How many people own like a TV or something? Right? How many people own, you got toys? Anybody got toys? I got jet ski, right? Toys, like we Alexa. Here's what the Lord said to me. He says, son, look, you bought your car with a price. Right? Now that car is supposed to do something. Right, we don't like it if we get out and jump in our car and hit the button or turn the key and nothing happens. We don't like that, do we? Right? We expect our car to do a certain thing, right? Is that right, church? God expects us to do certain things. But he said to me, son, it's that your car can't put gas in itself. Your car can't change its own oil. Your car can't buy new tires for itself. Your car can't take itself to the car wash. Man, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? Your car can't clean itself. Your car can't keep it. You know, do you know what I'm saying, church? Right? He said, because you bought that car, it belongs to you. It's your job to maintain that vehicle. It's your job to put the fuel into it. It's your job to take care of it, keep it clean, buy insurance for it, protect it, right? It's your job to do these things. He says, son, if you understand that and I bought you with a price, is it your job to take care of you? Or is it my job to make sure you got some gas in the tank? Is it my job to make sure that you've been to the car wash at least once a week and get the undercarriage right so you don't get rusty under there? Right? Do you understand what I'm saying, church? this is America. We tend to just kind of go, okay, I'm going to do my best. And he's like, I don't need you to do your best. I need you to surrender to me and let my best flow through you. You don't need to buy your own gas. I got that. Right, church? One of the reasons we got no power in church anymore in America is because we're too busy doing everything ourselves. Right? One of our prayers every morning here before, as our worship team gets going, this is our prayer. Lord, I know how to play some chords on the guitar. I can sing kind of a little bit. But that's not worship. I know how to put a sermon together, but that's not going to help anybody. We need the power of God. Right? You know, we need to show up. We need to prepare. We need to, right? I need to practice my guitar a little bit, and the guy on the drums got to practice a little bit, right? I need to study. We all need to do these things. We need to do what we got to do, right? The Bible clearly tells us that. But when it's time to show up, it's not what I've done that matters. It's what he's going to do through me that matters. Do you understand, church? Are you catching this? Ready? What? I'm either going to make it through or I'm here to make a difference, right? So the second mindset, that one about make a difference, is this. It's based on God's precision planning. I should have got like one amen from like some old people that have been around a little bit. That second mindset is based on God's sovereignty and his purposes in my sphere of influence. Right? So every one of you, we're going to leave here sometime today. We're going to go home. We're going to do our thing at home. Tomorrow morning, we're going to get up and go do whatever we're going to do, right? We're going to go to work. We're going to take care of kids. We're going to do whatever we're going to do. That is your sphere of influence. That is your ministry field. That is where God has assigned you. And whatever you are doing tomorrow is where God has sent you, not just where you're at. Do you understand, church? God, it's not passive. There's purpose in it. That's what we've got to shift. I'm not just here. I'm here on purpose. Right? I've been dealing with some stuff this last couple weeks, man, that's like stuff's coming at me because I'm pressing into some things and some stuff coming at me. Then in the past, I realized like I used to run. I used to go like, oh, geez, maybe I'm not supposed to do this. And the Lord's saying, no, you're missing it, son. If you don't got something pushing back at you, you're probably not where you're supposed to be. One preacher says it like this. He says, we should not ask why Christians in other countries are being persecuted. We should start asking why we aren't. The Bible says anyone who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Right? That's the word of God, isn't it? Yeah? This second mindset, church, is a mindset of victory and mission. It's a mindset of confidence and peace. It's a mindset fueled by faith. It's fueled by believing not only that God is absolutely with me, but that I'm with him. It's not those times where we're taking a guess at what to do and hoping that we're on track, right? Sometimes we got to do that, church, but it's really taking the time to spend time with God and saying, man, is this where I'm supposed to be? Okay, so if I can't change where I am physically, then help me change what's going on in here, right? Help me change how I'm seeing this. Help me change how I'm thinking about this, right? If I am stuck somewhere in Babylon 70 years, I'm going to make the best out of it, right? It's like saying, instead of saying, oh, you know, I'm going to get something out of this. I'm going to learn something. I'm going to deposit something. Amen, church? Romans 8:28, we all know this one, but I want to show you something that I guarantee you don't know. Amen. Romans 8:28, and we know, is it up on the screen? Let's all read it together. And we know that God causes how many things? All things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Amen. His purpose, right? There's the problem. It's his purpose. Right, I preached this a few weeks back. This is a group of people. Don't go to everybody. To those who love God. right? Not those who God loves, because then everybody gets it. To those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose, right? Here's what's interesting, though, church. In the Greek word, which is the original text here, for purpose, is a reference. You got to dig a little bit, but it's a reference to the showbread. If you don't know what showbread is, it was the bread in the Old Testament temple that they would bake and set apart for acts of worship to God. All right, this is the word that Paul uses when he says purpose. What we tend to do in America, church, is we tend to say, God's got a purpose for you, brother. God's got a purpose for you, brother, sister. God's got a purpose for you. God's got a plan for your life. He does. Please don't misunderstand me. God does have a plan for your life. But the plan for your life is to make you showbread. All right? Let me modernize it. The plan for your life, for my life, God's plan for my life is not to be a pastor. That's what I do as I surrender to the plan for God's for God's plan for my life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? If you're a school teacher, fine, but that's not God's plan for your life. That's what you do within God's plan for your life. Right? That's how you make money. That's how God blesses you. That's how God provides for you. Do you understand? God's plan for our lives, every one of us, church, is to be set apart. The showbread was considered sacred. It was considered holy, right? The word holy means set apart, different than, right? God's crowning attribute is that he is holy. We've got to capture this in the church in America again. We think God's crowning attribute is that he's love. But you know, when the angels are flying around the throne of God in the book of Revelation, worshiping him in 24/7 forever, they don't cry out, loving, loving, loving is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Merciful, 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 patient, patient, patient. No, they're crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy is the Father, holy is the Son, holy is the Holy Spirit, right? It doesn't mean unapproachable or unattainable. It means he is different than anything else that exists. And then he tells us, be ye holy, even as I am holy. That's not weird, church. Come on, that's what we do in church. I'm holy. How many of us know people that think they're holy and they're just weird? Man, no. He's saying, I'm trying to do something inside of you that makes you different. Not the way you dress. Oh, my goodness gracious, for crying out loud. That doesn't matter, man. Come on. It's something different, church. I've been saying it for months. If we are letting God do what he wants to do, we should be the ones at work that walk in. Everybody says, oh, we should stop complaining now because cause is here. Right? We shouldn't be getting dragged into those conversations. Oh, yeah, the boss, what a jerk. Somebody just got convicted for that one. My boss isn't a jerk. I've never complained about that, all right? That's a joke. He's, you know, I'd be scared to say that, right? Do you understand what I'm saying, church? We should be the ones going into these environments and saying, look, I'm here to change this. Not for it to change me, right? There's the old saying that as long as the boat is in the water, you're good. But when the water starts getting in the boat, you're in trouble, right? We're out there in the water. As long as we're in the water, we're good to go. But when the water starts getting in us, we're in trouble, right, church? So, Let me just drive this point home, right? Whether you make money as a teacher, a CEO, pro athlete, dentist, sanitary engineer, that's a garbage man, babysitter, right? That is not the purpose for God's purpose for your life. Are you catching this? That's not why you're here. That's a secular version of why you're here. Oh, God called me to be a pro athlete. No, he didn't. He called you to be holy as a pro athlete. He called you to be holy as a dentist, as a teacher, he called you as a child of God. And I do this. right? This friend of mine that I shared about a little bit during worship, talking with her the other day, and we got talking a little bit about AA. She knows nothing about God, right? She's great, great young lady. And we're talking about AA and NA, great programs, but I said, here's the fundamental problem with those two programs. You cannot have a drop to drink for 40 years, and you walk into a meeting and say what? Hi, my name's Mark, and I'm an alcoholic. So I said to this friend of mine, what is that? My name is Mark, and I'm a... What is that? It's a statement of identity. Right? And I said to this friend of mine, I said, look, what if instead of saying that, you said, hi, my name is Mark, and I'm a child of God. Hi, my name is Mark, and I'm forgiven. Hi, my name is Mark, and I'm free. Right? Boy, that starts changing to day one right there. The first mindset is a mindset of like, man, don't give me a drink because it's been 40 years and just one drink, I'm on a bender. Dude, what? That's not freedom. That's fear. Freedom in Christ is stuff that used to control me. You could throw it at me all day. It doesn't even stick anymore. Can I get an amen, church? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't stick. I'm not that person, man. That doesn't work on me anymore. I was that, and now I'm this. You see what I'm saying? We need some more Christians like that in our culture. Is that good? God can do whatever he wants. He can show up, manifest his presence, send an angel, work a miracle, rain fire from heaven. Amen, right? I mean, God can do whatever he wants. Read the Bible, man. God does whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants to do it, right? Okay, church, think about this. God could literally rip the sky open and in 1 second fix everything that's wrong on the planet. Wouldn't even take him that long, right? I mean, that's literally who God is, right? But for some reason, he chose to use us to fix what's wrong on the planet. I don't know about you, but that's dumb because that's just, that is literally the most inefficient decision ever. I mean, it'd be like trying to like, you know, drain your bathtub through a straw or something, right? Just like what? That's going to take hours, bro. Just put the drain open, you know, right? I mean, look, if God can do whatever he wants, but he says, I'm going to use you. God could change the atmosphere, boom, just like that. But he says, but I'm going to put my atmosphere in you, and then you go in there and change that atmosphere. I'm going to put who I am in you, and then I want you to go in there and be who I am. You catching this, church? Right? Can I look at this Babylon that I'm in, and rather than thinking of myself, as we talked about 2 Sundays ago, and just trying to make it, maybe this is exactly where I'm supposed to be, right? Maybe it's my mission field. Maybe God has literally either sent me here or sent this to me so that he can use me to make a difference. Right? God created Adam and Eve in the garden or outside the garden? Y'all so scared? If you're new in our church, we like to participate, all right? If I ask a question, it's not rhetorical. Like, if you know, just shout it out. You don't got to raise your hand or anything. Did God make Adam and Eve inside the garden or outside the garden? Outside. That's all right, though. And then he put them in it. Read it, right? It's there. He made them outside the garden, then he put them in it. Well, you know who's in the garden? You're also scared now. You're like, I got the first one wrong. I don't know what to do. The serpent, right? The devil was in the garden. So think about this, church. God puts the crown of his creation, right? Adam is the pinnacle of God's creation, right? In God's own, in our image, we've created man, right? And then he puts Adam in this like dichotomy. I looked at, or that word hit me. I looked it up. It's like two opposing forces. There's some English today, English lessons, right? They puts him in this dichotomy, right, church? The garden is this amazing paradise, right? It's a paradise that is also hostile. Everybody say it with me. God put Adam into a paradise. Come on, everybody. They're just babies. We've all seen them before. You can see them after church. All right. One of them's mine. You can borrow anytime you want. I got plenty of them. All right. Right? God put Adam and Eve in a what, church? paradise that was also what? Hostile. And then tells Adam to do what? Take dominion. See, when Satan fell out of heaven, that's why the earth was darkened without void. Do you understand what I'm saying? God doesn't make anything dark and without and void and without form. It was dark and in form and without form because that's where the devil had been cast down to. The earth was dark. It wasn't always dark. It was nice until the devil got cast down there. So then he makes a garden and sends Adam and says, "Now fix it." We got to be so scared. We got to stop being so scared of the devil. Come on, church. Stop blaming the devil every time you do something stupid. Just say, "Man, that was stupid. I shouldn't have done that." Get up and keep going. Half the time we blame the devil, and the devil's got nothing to do with it. He's just laughing about it. Can I get amen? Right? And it starts in our homes, church. It starts saying, you know what? Look, my wife and I worked hard to get our home a sanctuary, right, where it's peaceful. And my kids, they know that's enough, right? Right? We worked hard in our marriage. We've worked hard to get this thing straightened out. And if I can't get it right in my home, it's not going to be right anywhere else. Scriptures tell us it. How could a man work in the house of God if he can't get his house straightened out? Is that right? See? We want to cast demons out of people out in the culture. He says, how about casting demons out of your house? Hey, man, I'm telling you the truth. I've opened the door a few times, the front door, and said, get out. I don't know what's in here, but that ain't in my house. Get out. Church, I can feel it go by me. I don't see it. I can feel it. Get out. Can I get amen? And don't come back because I'm going to be mad next time. Amen. So do you guys understand this concept with Adam and Eve? Paradise that's hostile. I'll tell you the truth right now. God has put you in the same position. He's putting you into a place that is a paradise. And it's hostile. Right? The Lord said to me, son, look, you guys just want me to do everything, and you just sit back like on the lazy river at Lake Compounds, man, just float along, right? He says, no, man, this is like stage 4 rapids, man. You got to put your paddle in the water, you're going to die. Right? You're going to flip over and everybody's going to drown. He says, look, it's a fight, man. You got to get up there and get ready to take some ground. Right? You understand? Let's read. I'm going to read you something. Prove it. Matthew chapter 10. I'm almost done. We'll be done by 2 o'clock. Maybe 2:30. Everybody there? Matthew chapter 10. Can I borrow your Bible, bro? I got to read a little bit more than I've got in my notes here. Where's Matthew? Oh, I got it. Never mind. You guys ready? If you want to put it up on the screen there, guys, for those that folks don't have a Bible, back up to verse 5. All right? We're just going to read a little bit and preach, and then we'll get there. Amen. You good? Verse 5. These 12, Jesus, everybody say, sent out. Sent out. Today's sermon is called Sent, if I forgot to say that. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, do not go in the way of the Gentiles and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Just take the instruction from Jesus. How many of us would feel weird saying that? I'd feel weird saying that. Hey, my name's Mark. The kingdom of heaven's at hand. They'd be like, what? Maybe we could modernize that a little bit. All right, just pray about it. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Let's look at the commission, church. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. Do not look at the mission. Do not acquire gold or silver, or copper for your money belts, or a bag for your money for your journey, or even 2 coats or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his support. Do you guys understand what Jesus is saying right there? Jesus is saying, don't bring a whole bunch of extra stuff with you, because as you go on this mission, you're worthy of being supported for it. right? If you're on mission for God, what you need is going to come. I'm going to say that one more time. If you're on mission for God, what you need is going to come, right? But now we say, oh, amen, pastor, preach it. But now be the guy that leaves your house with no money, no food, no extra coat. Well, where am I going to get some money? He's like, just go. I mean, like, I feel good because I got a paycheck comes every 2 weeks, right? I know when it's coming again, right? He's saying, just go. And trust me. Let's keep reading. How many people like it so far? I don't. And, everybody say and. Whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it. Ooh. And stay at his house until you leave that city. As you enter the house, give it your greeting. If the house is worthy, give it your blessing of peace. But if it is not worthy, take back your blessing of peace. Whoever does not receive you nor heed your words, as you go out of that city, house or that city, shake the dust off your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Let me pause here because verse 16 is where I have it in my notes here. Church, look what you know what Jesus is really saying. I'm going to really simplify it. What we, myself included, what we tend to do is when we get up enough guts, you know, we pray for like 3 months and we're fasting and we're calling the pastor, please stand with me, brother, right? And we get just enough gumption to tell one person, talk to one person about Jesus, and they're like, bro, I'm good. We're like, oh no, it's going to take me 3 months to find one more. You know what Jesus is telling his disciples? You have the answer. What you got, somebody's going to want it. So if you go in someplace and they don't want it, it's on you, bro. Do you see what I'm saying, man? Jesus is saying just because someone doesn't listen to what you have to say about the Lord should have no impact on how, whether or not you find someone else to talk to about Jesus. You should literally just go, that's fine, man. You'll need them someday, trust me. Just keep moving, right? I'm telling you, and church, I'm here, man. I do it. Oh, Jesus, I thought that was going to be the one. Right? God's saying, come on, man. Get some backbone in you, will ya? Come on. Church, do you know, I've shared this, but there's some new folks, right? There is 250,000 people live in Farmington and every town that touches Farmington. 250,000. God said to me last year when he told me to look that up, he says, why are you so upset why the church up the street got a couple hundred folks in it? Our church is growing. No, you're just getting folks from the church up the street that got mad and came down here. It ain't growing. Boy, that rubbed somebody the wrong way, didn't it? How would the church, big C church is what I'm talking about, not a church, right? Just moving church to church, which is fine. I didn't get saved in this church. Can I get amen? I'm not being critical of that. But right? The church, the kingdom of God growing, big C church growing is when folks that don't know Jesus get to know Jesus and start walking with Jesus. That's church growth, right? That's exciting, man, right? And God's saying, son, it's time to shift what you're looking at, man. Stop. Who cares how many folks are up the street? Praise God. Right? Go find somebody that's lost and broken and say, man, I know how to help you. Right? Verse 16. Is this all right? Anybody mad? Too bad. Verse 16. Behold, I what? Oh, send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So, everybody say so. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves, but beware of men. Look at the hostility in this mission. I mean, if I was going to send somebody out, I would send you out as a wolf in the midst of sheep. probably got a better chance of being successful, right? I mean, you guys ever see sheep? They can't do a thing except eat grass and poop on stuff and, like, bang heads with each other. That's about all sheep ever do, all right? Right? I mean, sheep in the midst of wolves. I read this, and I was like, man, that's so messed up. But you know what he's saying? If you're a sheep in the kingdom, you're more powerful than a wolf in the world. We all want to be lions. Jesus says, I'm sending you out as sheep. You know what, church? A sheep can't actually hurt anything. They're just dumb, right? You know what Jesus is saying? Look, man, you got to get out there. It's hostile, but don't you even think about going on there and being angry, looking to hurt people, looking to mess things up. He says, I want you to be a sheep, man. You got to kill them with kindness. Right? Kill them softly with you. Oh, that's a sinner song. I don't know. So. Beware of men. Everybody read this with me. They will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in the synagogues. And you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, don't worry about how or what you are to say. For it will be given you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but it's the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Just wrap your head around this, man, right? We're probably not going to get dragged to court, not yet. Those of us that are young enough, we may see that someday in America, right? Who knows what's going to happen, right? But look, even if we get into these situations at work or with family where we're like, they're boxing us in, right? We're like, oh, I don't want to talk about Jesus because it's going to get so weird and awkward. I'm just trying to make it through Thanksgiving. Or I'm going to Thanksgiving this year on mission. I'm not even going to worry about what to say, right? I'm just going to wait, and I'm going to watch for the opportunity for this door to open, and the Holy Spirit's going to give me the right thing to say right then, right? Can you imagine if that was our mindset, right? I am going to make a dent in Thanksgiving this year. I'm going in there with confidence. If I got some family folks that keep telling me they don't need Jesus, I'll just shake my foot off at them, you know, whatever, some dust, bro. Right? I don't care. You understand what I'm saying, church? And it's not that I don't care, like I don't care, like whatever. It's I'm not going to let your intimidation make me afraid of who God's made me to be. Right? Because I'm telling you what, church, every single person that's ever come at you about Jesus, they're going to come back to you someday. My dad took him 20 years. 20 years. But the day he got saved, he called me sobbing on the phone. You're right. You've been right the whole time. Please forgive me for everything I've ever said to you. Right? I just was like, fine. You want to be a jerk? Be a jerk. I don't care. Am I making sense, church? We've got to catch this, man. The world is hostile. A couple more things, and then I'll wrap it up right here. Guys, remember a couple Sundays ago I said this, that God wants to take down Babylon. You guys remember that? Right? But remember what I said? It was so prophetic. He wants to take down not the Babylonians, but the system. Right? What we got to start understanding is how many of us know people don't know Jesus? Hopefully. If we don't, man, there's a lot more Christians that ain't doing what they're supposed to be doing out there than we're aware of. Can I get amen, right? We all know folks don't know Jesus, right? And instead of looking at these people and saying, oh, you're such a this and you're such that, and what we've got to start seeing is beyond the behavior, beyond what they say, beyond what they do, beyond how they dress, beyond the tattoos, beyond what all the stuff we get hung up in as Christians because we're so religious, right? And say, look at, God doesn't want to take you out. He wants to take the system out that's controlling you. Right? So what is he sending us out as sheep in the midst of wolves, right? This friend of mine, she's saying to me, look, I've never met somebody like you. I've never met someone as gentle and kind as you. Waiting to be judged. Had another person here yesterday. Just made a huge mess in their life. And they're like, look, they've been judged by Christians. I said, look, what you did, was it wrong? For sure. All right? But you know what the church is supposed to do? We're supposed to rally around folks that mess up. We're supposed to rally around folks that blow it. We're supposed to go find somebody that's fallen flat on their face and pick them up and say, man, you're all right, bro. If you're still breathing, then Jesus ain't done with you yet. Come on, man. You're all right. Right? Jesus catches this woman. She's caught red-handed in adultery. Bring her to Jesus. He's like, oh, master, what do we do? She's been caught in adultery. Let's stone her to death. Jesus ignores the guys, right? He's drawing on the sand with a stick, whatever he's doing, right? And then he finally says, he who is without sin can cast the first stone. One by one, they all leave. And he finally says, woman, where are your accusers? She says, none, Lord, they're all gone. And he says, well, neither do I condemn you. Now go your way and sin no more. What we do in church is we just tell people to stop sinning, but we don't show them any kindness. Right? You seen this on Facebook recently? This guy, one preacher says, the only person qualified to throw a stone right there didn't. He who's without sin can cast the first stone. He says, I can throw a stone. Right? Jesus ain't got no sin. I could throw a stone at her if I want to. I'm perfect, but I don't. Right, church? We've got to get over ourselves, man. I'm realizing God is working on me, saying, son, look at how you look at some of these people. You look at some of the, and you think this and think that. He says, you've forgotten where you came from. Somebody called me wholesome recently. I was like, pfft. Really? That's funny. Wholesome. I was like, man, let me tell you some stories about where I came from because I ain't quite all there yet. Right? But church, sometimes we gotta find these folks and say, look, what you see in me is you think I'm so far beyond you. Let me tell you the truth. I'm only about that much farther than you're at right now. And that little bit that I got is because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Everything good in me is from God. My marriage is from God. My kids are from God. My health is from God, right? The peace in my heart is from God, not from me. And you can have the same thing. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Just want to pray real quick. Got a good message next Sunday. I already got a grinding on it. Going to be a familiar story, but we're going to hit it from this kind of an angle. Amen, church? God is getting ready to equip this house. Telling you the truth. I've never said that in almost 9 years pastoring this church. He's getting ready to equip this house to start getting out there in the culture. It's coming. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to take a moment. I want to invite anybody down front. And what I just feel the Lord saying to me, he says, we've still got fear in our hearts. Right? That's really what Jesus is telling his disciples. Don't be afraid of it, right? Don't be afraid. It is hostile. People are going to come at you. People are going to reject you. People are going to throw you in prison. People are going to hate you. Like Jesus says, if they hated me, they're going to hate you, right? He says, don't be afraid of it. Stop being afraid. And the reason we don't talk about Jesus more is because we're afraid. We're afraid of being rejected. We're afraid. Amen. So I want to just invite anybody down front, if you feel that, just twinge in your heart saying, man, that's me. I'm afraid. I want you to just come down front, just you and Jesus, man. Right? Just come down and just say, Lord, just whatever you want to do, get on your knees, raise your hands, just say, Lord, that's me. Because the Bible says that we've not been given a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So, Father, we just come this morning. We don't want to be afraid anymore. Your word says that perfect love casts out fear. But then right there, the same verse, he says, and those who fear have not been perfected in love. So, Lord, the only way that fear still lingers in our soul is because we still haven't quite wrapped our head around how much you love us. That even when we go into that hostile environment, Father, it might not feel good, it might be scary looking, but we don't have to be scared. We can go in there with boldness. We can go in there with confidence. We can go in there saying, God has sent me here. This is not an accident. It's not a passive thing. I am on mission for the kingdom of God. I'm on mission right now. I'm on mission when I go home today and my kids are crazy. I'm on mission. I'm on mission tomorrow morning when I got to go to that job that I really don't like. I'm on mission. I'm on mission when I go home and maybe my spouse is not on track with me and my marriage is struggling. I'm on mission right now. I'm on mission. God has sent me here. God has sent me here. I'm not going to be a wolf killing sheep, but I'm going to be a sheep loving wolves. You know, the word for shrewd right there, church, where he says to be shrewd as a serpent, the Greek word means to be practically wise, right? Meaning that you're going to go into environments where somebody doesn't know Jesus is looking for an answer, they can't figure it out, and God will give it to you. Practical wisdom. Amen? So, Father, we receive that this morning. We receive, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say on the moment, right on the spot, Father. We're going to stop worrying about it, rubbing our hands together, freaking out, losing sleep. Lord, if tomorrow we get dragged into the courts, we're not going to worry about it. Because you're going to give us what we got to say. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome, awesome week. And get ready. Get ready. Amen.